We live in a world where things move rather quickly. Life zips by all too quickly. And so we're taught right from the beginning that every post is meant to be a winner. Always upwards, onwards, forwards, bigger, better, faster. But life just isn't like that. And when things don't go quite according to plan, you have to ask yourself, where's God? I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome again to A Different Perspective as we chat about what God's up to in your life. Well, over the past almost 3 weeks now, we've been journeying together each day with this young Moabite widow, Ruth, who's found herself in the foreign land of Israel with her older Israelite mother-in-law, Naomi. Now, they're both destitute, and yet they've had such courage and determination to step out and go forward in search of God's blessing. Sometimes it's easy for us to imagine that seeking out the blessing of God is a bit, well, presumptuous. Surely God expects me to get on with it and sort things out for myself. And yes, God isn't looking for us to adopt what I call the spiritual couch potato model of faith. He does want to involve us, but in his journey with him, he does things that we can't do, and his blessing, his favour, is something that each man and woman and child who believes in Jesus, his son, is meant to participate in. The thing that really strikes me about Ruth's journey through some very difficult places and times is that she didn't stop journeying. She made decisions that pointed her in the direction of God's blessing, and then she just walked along that road. She didn't fall by the wayside. She didn't give up. And if you've been able to join me on the program these last few weeks, you'll probably agree that if anyone had a right to feel sorry for herself, well, it was Ruth. I wonder then, as we take a bit of a pause today from Ruth's story, although we'll be back with her again next week, I wonder what God is up to in your life. For me at the moment, it seems that God is on a major campaign for me to learn to trust him in every circumstance. Just this last week, there have been a couple of disappointments along my journey, things that I'd hoped would work out one way, but they worked out entirely differently. They worked out, as it seemed in my limited human understanding, for the worse rather than the better. It's always hard, isn't it? You believe in God, you go for it, you lay it all on the line, and things don't work out the way they should have. I know that you know absolutely what I'm talking about. And as I've sat and thought about this, I think it's because we have a mentality that says every post should be a winner. Every step should be a step forward. Every outcome should be better than before. But that is quite simply not what the Bible tells me. Pick any Bible character, and what we'll see is victory mixed with defeat, success mixed with failure, at least when we look at things through the world's eyes. The Apostle Paul, he has such a dramatic conversion. He spends the first part of his life persecuting Christians, and then he has this amazing conversion and spends the next part of his life traveling throughout the known world, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles like no one else. And then God gets him to write almost half the books of the New Testament. I mean, pretty sensational career, you'd have to say. It looks good on your resume. But then he spends years in a Roman dungeon on death row, finally, we believe, to be executed for his faith. All of the apostles, so far as we know, met the same fate. I think this desire to win, this attitude that we have some inalienable right to win, is etched so deeply on our psyche that we've developed a completely cockeyed view of God's blessing. We carry around this picture that all suffering must be bad, that if we're walking with Jesus, then it should all go swimmingly well, that we should always be going onwards and upwards according to the world's template of success. Think about it. As you look forward into the future, what are your hopes and dreams? Well, it's normal that we want good things to happen to us and our family and our children. We hope for a promotion. We hope that things will get just a little bit easier financially. We hope that our marriages will get better, and that's what fuels our hopes and dreams for the future, right? It's all about things getting better for us and the ones whom we love. That's it. But of all of those people listening to this message around the world today, in 160 countries, and you're one of them, of the millions listening to these words, here's what's going to happen in the next 12 months. Some of us will be diagnosed with cancer. Some will die of a heart attack. Some will have a stroke. Some will die of malnutrition and disease. Some will lose their children. Some will have a car accident. Some will suffer the pain of marriage breakdown. Some will discover that they can't have children. Some will be retrenched. Some will be... Now, I'm not being morbid or negative here, but that's what's going to happen to some people. And sure, some are going to have a good year, even a great year. The question is, when it comes to God's blessings, what are we hoping for? Let me be blunt and direct, as if I haven't been already. What are you hoping for? I want to share with you perhaps the most poignant thing that the Apostle Paul ever wrote. He wrote it to his friends in Philippi in a letter which now makes up part of the New Testament. Please listen carefully with me to what God is saying to us right here and right now through the Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, then make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Don't do anything from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, didn't regard equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. In other words, what Paul's saying is, look, be like Jesus. That's the point. Empty yourself, be last, glorify him, work out this salvation of yours, this free gift of eternal life, not for your own benefit, not for your own glory. Live it out in a holy fear and awe and trembling, because there is a glory coming that you and I can't begin to imagine. And the blessing of God here on this earth comes not when we try to hang on to our own lives, not when we try to fill ourselves and promote ourselves and look after our interests. We only lose that way. The blessing comes when we let go of our lives, when we empty ourselves, when we are content to be last, when we are happy like Jesus to suffer so that other people will be blessed. And it's in this place that we can have joy and experience the blessing and the peace of God, even when circumstances and people, even when the whole world seems like it's pulling against us. Friend, Jesus humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And now he's the Lord of all. Now he is glorified. Do you hear the voice of Jesus in his word? Do you hear him calling out, "Be like me"? Friend, the blessing of God comes when we choose to be like Jesus, when we grow more and more to become like him, and we let go of our lives here on this earth. Social media, now, love it or hate it, it's a powerful reality in the lives of billions of people here in the 21st century. Of course, some terrible things happen in that whole social media world, which is why it's so important to use this medium to bless people for God's glory. So, if you're on Facebook, head across to the Christianity Works page and press the like button. When you do, you'll start seeing some positive and uplifting posts from us in your feed, including free booklet downloads from time to time. But more than that, when you're touched by one of them, you can share them with your friends, becoming something of a social media missionary for the glory of God. Look, we need to be out there sharing the good news of Jesus. Amen? Well, this is one of the simple, practical, and powerful ways that you can do that. So visit the Christianity Works page on Facebook, hit the like button, and be encouraged and blessed, as well as share some of that with your friends too. I'm Bernie Diamond. I'll catch you again, same time Monday, with a different perspective.